And the time has ticked to the quarter. It's quarter past three, or will be in 20 seconds time. And I am now about to eat my hat, because I made the declaration that if we start this interview that was scheduled for quarter past three, at quarter past three, it'll be the first time any ANC councillor or candidate councillor would ever start on time. And Thabani Msimang is in the house. He was in early, and I am happy to be wrong. Thabani, welcome.
Welcome.
Lovely to have you with us on the afternoon show.
Thank you.
Sitting in with us is Penny Faree. She's our recently acquired news and actuality presenter and producer. Welcome to you.
How's it, Dave? Hi, everybody.
And Nogwanda Dima, our news presenter, who is very, very keen to be in on this discussion, because she has a lot of, as she said in the just after the news, a lot of hot questions. So, Thabani, I hope you're ready to face the hot questions that are coming your way, because you have very bravely, I think, put yourself into the firing line. You are candidate councillor for Ward 30 in the Guadaguza district, which is a large portion of Ballito and environs. Currently, I believe it's a Democratic Alliance seat. You are standing for and on behalf of the African National Congress. And obviously, it's a mountain to climb, in a sense that it's been, a DA-held seat historically for quite a long time. Are you not concerned that because it's a historically safe seat for the Democratic Alliance, that coming in on an ANC ticket at this juncture might be almost an impossibility?
Well, good afternoon to all and the listeners out there. My privilege and honor to be with you, and thanks for the opportunity to engage with me. I'm not really concerned for a number of reasons. One of those reasons is that I'm a social activist and present in Ballito in particular, and I've been around, and party politics, as you know, Dave, it's not for me as such. It's my privilege as well for the ANC to actually nominate me to be their candidate for this, what you call, difficult ward. Not so difficult for me, because I believe that the people of Ballito are very open-minded. They are good people that have been working with me on the ground on a number of social issues. And for that matter, and I think they are fair people that won't just vote because one comes with a political card, whether it's DA or it's ANC or whatever organizations out there. But I think people, as we always say, there's a word out there that says people will vote with their conscience. They'll be voting for a community leader, and I'm the community leader they know, and that has been present and dealing with issues in Ballito.
But correct me if I'm wrong, in local elections, the individual ward councillors represent the party. And if you, as a ward councillor elect, fail to deliver, it's almost impossible to replace you. It's not like, well, we've actually voted for Thabani Msimang because we believe he's a good guy. It's you're voting for a political party candidate, irrespective of who that is. So take Thabani out of the equation because for whatever reason they decide to, move you somewhere else. Mm-hmm. Is that not the case, that you can be replaced, but by the party, not by the people that vote for you?
Actually, you can be replaced by both the party and the people, mainly the people themselves.
Oh, really?
You've seen in most wards where ward councillors did not perform their duties. Miss Penny here next to me will know that the people, that the community themselves, they get up in their numbers and to say, we don't want this councillor, And not far from where we are, councillors have been chased out by communities to say, you are not delivering and doing what we elected you to do as a councillor. So it's not an impossibility.
Or possibly I need to rephrase the question. You might have a personal magnetism and charisma and reputation for getting the job done and being a generally decent, honorable human being. I don't know that to be true. But you're representing a party that has become somewhat tarnished by corruption, by events of the recent past that has led many to, in fact, refer to the ANC as a criminal organization, not a political party. And that's the legacy that comes to mind when one now starts thinking politics in South Africa in 2021. You're looking at a party that once was the hope for the nation, the rainbow nation that was, first democratic elections. I think the entire world was celebrating this liberation organization that came to power and promised so much. And I think the initial promise was that this was a country for all South Africans, black and white, pink and green. It made no difference what your affiliation, race, etc. It was a country for everyone. And almost immediately in came BEE, CADA deployment, state capture very, very soon after that. The dismantling of the organs of state, the dismantling of the security structure, dismantling of the legal structure to a degree, you know, the National Prosecuting Authority, the rampant corruption, rampant looting, and very, very little self-correction, if any. And it's been now 27 years. And the country, I believe, in many instances, has had enough. What do you say to that?
I wouldn't call or summarize what has happened as a criminal organization. We've had, as you know, I'll be the first one to admit to the fact that the organization has been gripped with a lot of issues and stemming from mainly factionalism. And I'm writing on the wagon that the president has put in motion in terms of renewing the organization. You will understand, as a community builder yourself and a leader, that it takes a lot of effort and time to change organizations and to change things. In my opinion, the president has done a good job in doing that. I know that a number of people in the past that are in jail, people that are going through our justice system for the things they did.
Well, that's an interesting point, because I don't know of any.
Well, I'm not the one, obviously, to tell you the names and all those. But
I wish you would, because I think that's the point that many South Africans are making, that there have been so many criminal cases that have been brought before the judiciary that have been found almost... certainly prima facie evidence has led to the suspicion that there is a case to be answered, and yet not one of those, and I'm talking about Ace Magashule particularly, you know, who was told by the leadership to step down. What did he do?
You're getting me into a...
Difficult, I know, it's difficult.
You're getting me into a national space where national leaders are...
But maybe the point I'm trying to make is, Tabani, you made the point that the president has initiated changes. Yes. And I'm asking you what those are, because I don't see any.
Let me give you an example. One of the burning issues within the organization has been the erosion of capacity in terms of leadership, where anyone and everyone could be a leader. You talk of mayors and leaders at regional and at municipality level. One of those initiatives, for example, that the government is pushing is that anyone who becomes mayor under the ANC, for example, must have a postgraduate degree. And you and I will also agree that that alone tells you that a lot of people will be excluded, because you must have a degree. If you don't have populism, there's no degree or postgraduate degree called populism. You've got to have the skills, the capacity, and what is required for you to become a mayor. In the past, as you know, anyone, we've had mayors, for example, where a speech would be written for someone, he can't even read the speech that is written because of lack of capacity. And this president Ramaphosa has one of the most difficult jobs in the world, because now you're dealing with our organization that has issues that I've mentioned, above all with all other issues that are crippling the world in terms of COVID and you name it, and also trying to keep the tight ship in making sure that the organization works and does what it's supposed to do. Part of what the president is doing is actually getting people like myself, call it young people and business people, and as well as a social activist with this capacity I'm talking about,
to save the party.
Okay. But it's for me, because I'm also a realist. We understand the issues that are there. We understand lack of capacity and that we've had in some places. But I wouldn't label the organization as a whole as a failed organization, because a number of good things over the years has kept this country going because of the same organization.
Can I ask you then why the organization is in arrears to the tune of some 800 million rand to the receiver of revenue, where the staff at the Thule House, many of them former people like, well, I won't name names, everyone knows that there have been disgruntled former employees at the Thule House that have gone very publicly to lay charges, criminal charges, against the top five for failing to adhere to statutory requirements as laid down by the Constitution in terms of looking after staff and paying taxes and things like that. And if they can't look after their own staff, how does the ANC leadership then intend to continue to run the country?
You obviously can't defend those kinds of things, but also you can't label the organization because it had an issue like that as a failed organization. Let me finish.
Okay.
I am a businessman, and I run companies. I've seen companies that go under with all kinds of leadership, with all kinds of skills that you require, but companies will go under because of whatever reasons. A lot of companies, for example, pre and post COVID, they've gone under and they've closed shop for whatever reasons. So these things happen. Every organization will have issues and that they deal with, but it doesn't mean that the organization as a whole therefore is a failed organization, because at some point in time the organization lacked money. It actually should tell you something.
Can I ask you about that? Because the organization lacked money. There's something like 570 billion with a B, rand, allocated to post-COVID recovery or COVID recovery in various ways, PPE, et cetera, et cetera. Much of that money, apparently, was misappropriated. And it would appear that there have been certain members of the organization that have been instrumental in the misappropriation. Now, surely there was a lot of money available at one stage to run a country that at one stage was extraordinary, was considered to be, in fact, in terms of Africa, the biggest economy in Africa. 27 years later, the company, if you call it that, the political party, the ANC that runs the country, can't pay its own bills.
But Dave, Let's separate issues.
But you can't really, because it is the same organization.
No, let's separate issues.
I'm going to jump in
Please
now.
Before you,
I jump in quickly? Because I think the coming elections aren't going to be about leaders. We're going to be looking at potholes and we're going to be looking at service delivery. So the municipal elections per se are all about service delivery. And obviously coming back on a local level, mm-hmm. we're going to bring it down to a local level.
Sure.
Fair comment to say that the recent 2019-2020 auditors report said that 27 of the 257 municipalities in South Africa did not receive a financial keen of health. So a lot of them have failed financially. And if we bring it closer to our side, Kwadukuza Municipality, it's where the umbrella is, those are the issues, the critical issues that we need to be looking at. In 2018, 2019, we had 38 million rand in irregular expenditure. Last year's irregular expenditure jumped up to 155 million by the auditor. And in the past 4 years, we have not had a clean bill of health. A municipality has not been able to spend the capital budget. 38% of the total budget last year was not spent. And the capital budget is used, set aside for projects such as roads, schools, buildings. So we need to look at the issue of, do we have a competent leadership in the municipality? Yeah.
But then
do we have the skills for the municipality to run and deliver a service to the ratepayers who are, per se, those,
But that's probably what Tavani's coming in on. And I don't want to speak for you, Tavani, at this point in time, but I think that's exactly what we're trying to, or that you are trying to address.
Definitely. Penny, you are making a good point. And for me, it all boils down to leadership, you know. And obviously, I don't want to point a finger at the ANC and point a finger at anyone in this case. But the case is, I'm standing as a ward councillor for Ward 30, and I am a businessman. I think I'm well qualified, and I have the capacity to deliver what the people in Ballito, in Ward 30 in particular, need as services or as a service for them. And I think I'm a partner with them simply because it's not going to be the first time. And I had a chat with the farmers, you know, the meetings with the farmers from 11 o'clock this morning. One of the things I said to them, actually, as a community in Ward 30, whether we are elected or not, what we're talking about is stuff that we need to do beyond elections. We need to unite and make sure that we can do the stuff or the things that politicians or that we've promised, that if you vote for us, this is what we're going to do. Let me give you an example of the ward councillor for this new ward. It was under ward the 28.
It's Tommy's ward, eh?
Is it not?
Yes. I think it was 28.
Yeah. The community, the farming community, has never seen the councillor. What I mean, local government elections are about, as Comrade Penny said, they are about service delivery. People have issues where they stay. Mm-hmm. You can therefore not have a councillor, for example, that people have not seen. And then we hide behind this whole thing and the issues in the ANC, that the ANC is this and the ANC is that. The ward councillor.
It's not so much hiding, though, because if I'm electing you into my ward, I need to trust that the resources that you are pulling from are not going to fail me.
But I'm talking about the DA councillor that people have not seen. They've not seen, not even once.
So you think the social card is going to work in your favor?
The social card?
Yes, being a businessman. If I know you, do you think I should put my faith in your resources, which are the ANC? Because that's why the issues of the national issues come into play. How can I trust that the sources that you are pulling from are not going to fail me? Because Tobani is not going to fail me. But how do I know? How can you guarantee me?
Sure.
Make that guarantee to me that issue won't hit the fan.
Pre-COVID, post-COVID, and where we are, where the ANC saw me as a potential leader and candidate for them in Ward 30, I was serving the people of Ballito and NGOs and the people and the so-called progressive forces within Ballito. We were on the ground with them, serving the poor and the rich in terms of their needs. Some of the people, business people that trade in Ballito, for example, will attest to the fact that some of their problems with government, with municipalities, for example, for some reason, they will choose to come to me for me to solve some of those problems.
I think that's because you are connected. And maybe to put in context, you have a long history as an activist. You have, I think your great-grandfather was one of the founding members of the African National Congress.
Yeah.
You, as a youngster, were extremely active in the ranks of the ANC. In fact, your brother was murdered by the then security forces in front of you as a youngster. And to have been through that and to have emerged as moderate as you appear to be in terms of your balanced perspective on society and the role ahead. You're a businessman that has made his own mark. You hold several degrees. extremely successful businessman and with a social conscience. That's the Tobaniam Semang that I think people that know you respond to. You're a good man. You have delivered on many levels. And I think probably the ANC is absolutely overjoyed mm-hmm. that you're standing for them. Because quite frankly, Tobani, I would vote for you tomorrow if you weren't standing for the ANC. And I'm not saying that I won't, but I'm saying there's an if because of the African National Congress tarnished image. Mm-hmm. And it breaks my heart because I understand where you're coming from and I understand your intentions are extremely good. And if anyone can deliver, it's you. But there is that thing. There is that mistrust, and it's huge. But you were saying an interesting thing. We should maybe allude to it as well. That in the void that has been created by absenteeism, where councillors should have been present, there have been tremendous opportunities for extremely radical political activity to take place. And I think it's no secret that the EFF has been very, very active in that particular area that you're referring to. Mm. And making huge headway as a result. And there is a strong possibility that in this next election they're going to do extremely well.
I can tell you, I'm the fact that I'm a businessman makes it sometimes difficult to say certain things that a typical politician will say, for example, that is bad-mouthing other political organizations. I don't believe in violence. I don't believe in anarchism. I can tell you that farm workers around the area, because we went door to door during the week and talking to people, trying to actually convince them to vote for us and the ANC in this case, you know. And the EFF in its ways and in its stance, for example, has been there bulldozing and intimidating farmers and people are saying, we want someone who's going to do what the EFF has done. As you know, we don't believe in that. I don't believe that I should twist your arm, for example, to get my way with you. And the voters out there, because it's a democratic right to vote, have a choice, for example, to say to leave it in the hands of the EFF, and or to give and give us another chance, give us a chance. I've never been a councillor or a leader in the government anywhere, but I do believe that I can serve the community, and I think we can, through social partnerships with the community. One of the farmers, for example, said, "There's only one word where unity, for example, forms part of the set of the word, the English word that is community. There's unity in there. Our communities have shown that we actually do not need much of the government to get things done. If you look at what happened during unrest, all of us were on the ground protecting our properties with the farmers, with the taxi drivers and the people in Balito. I was there myself, and being part of the team and the group that was protecting the community, we need to make sure that we provide our people in Balito, in this case, with options. And I'm humbly presenting myself as that option.
Yeah.
And for me, the ANC, as you said, Dave, has a very close, heritage, and it's close to our hearts, for the same reasons you've mentioned. And it will pain me. It will be a hard thing for me to see the ANC go down the drain when we have the capacity. We have this. I've availed myself to lead, and I'm no better than anyone out there. I'm not positioning myself as a messiah to say I'm better than any other leader out there, but all I know is that I am a community person. I believe in partnerships, and I believe in non-racialism. One of the biggest things in this country that is quickly taking us south is the issue of using culture, race, and all these things to divide the people. We are at the critical time where we should make every effort to unite our people and to make sure that we go back to Mandela days, where South Africa is for everyone that lives in it.
Yeah. You know, there's no time like now where there's been such political divisiveness around us. And obviously, we're going to, you know, you're talking about, you know, the rhetoric, the political rhetoric is is, as you, what you're saying, but I'm going to put it down back to the service level, back to the local municipality, local government, and our local government has failed throughout the country. That is the issue. You know, our local municipality has failed us. We have such a massive backlog of housing that more than 20 wards in our 30-ward municipality are under land invasion. You know, currently in Belito, we're facing massive land invasion on one of our key roads. Mshlali, we just recently saw an uptake. And you're going out into the underlying areas, and it's happening everywhere.
But these areas are in your ward, I think, quite a lot of them.
Yeah.
So that's an issue that if you come to power, Tawani, will you be able to deal effectively with those social issues under the current restrictions that...
I think the reason why this has been allowed, obviously, is because, and I've said it before and everyone has heard me, is lack of accountability. You know, when the auditor has singled out the municipality, he has seen failed audits year after year, and none of the people that have been singled out, none of the departments have had accountability, and there's been no remedial action. Every year, nothing has been done. And that is the issue.
What would your approach to that be?
For me, it's not a simple answer, but it's all about partnerships. This morning, as I said, I had engagements with farmers. One of the things we were talking about, we're saying, in your own farms and in your own communities here in Ward 30, the new Ward 30, you have people. One of the sad stories that we had to listen is a 45-year-old that's been working in this farm for 33 years. He's never seen the school. He's never been to any. He doesn't have an ID, and you name it. I'm saying to one of the farmers, this person is in your farm. He probably started working with you when he was still a child. He's never seen the school. He doesn't have an ID. You know, we can always look and blame government for all kinds of things, and in most cases, responsible leaders, they take that. You know, but it comes down to us as communities as well, because it's your farm, it's your business, you are there to develop your own people, to help your own people. My approach to those things, and I was saying to the farmer, between Balito and Sugar Rush and Driefontein, for example, there's not even one early learning development center, and stretch to Driefontein, for example, is farming. It's about 15 compounds, not even one early learning development center.
But surely it would be, wouldn't the municipality be responsible for that?
But I'm saying to farmers, the municipality, fine, the municipality might not have done that, but guys, it's your people, they work for you.
That's a valid point, that if we're going to fix the country, it's going to be a true partnership going forward. Yeah. And I think there's capacity and there's willingness to do that, but what has been lacking is leadership. We're always out of time, and we're getting to the point now where we need to wrap up. But in conclusion, Tabani, the elections coming up on the 1st of November, the local elections, you're standing for Ward 30. How confident are you that you're going to be elected?
I'm very confident. We were on the ground the whole last week, registering people, helping people, talking to people, and it's amazing that when you engage with people and say, this is me, and you take accountability and you agree to some of the things that are happening. We know there are problems within the ANC, but I've raised my hand to say, I want to serve within the ANC. I want to partner with the people of Balito and the communities in Ward 30. And the only way we can correct some of these things we're talking about, I don't have all the answers, is when we become one community and we go out there to the government, to the community, and say, these are the people of Ward 30, this is what we want. But we play our role as well in terms of the little things we can do. For example, business people that were on the ground with us, they said, we will tell the government that we will finance the building of the early learning development center. I'm not a counselor yet, but people going with me, assisting us, are saying we'll put that thing. But the government must take care of that as a facilitator for the government. We took with us yesterday, the social workers from social development who are doing, what they call it, needs analysis for what is required in these communities. Doing it at this point, it does look like you are electioneering, you are getting out there.
But sorry, I know that you were instrumental largely in establishing that COVID hospital in Guadalajara as well. You certainly have a long history of social conscience and social activism. And as I say, if anyone can get the job done, it would probably be you. It's going to be an interesting race, if the election can be called a race. But certainly, I think you have the right stuff, and I thank you for coming into the afternoon show to face what is, you put it to me earlier to say, that it's going to be 3-1. I assure you, our mission is to remain as neutral as possible throughout this process and simply to ask the questions that I think many folk listening to this would want to ask themselves if they were able to, and to get the answers to those. And you have very bravely come forward, faced the music. Is there any final question from you, Nogwanda?
What do the businesses of Balito need? What have you identified? State your case for whoever's listening, really.
Well, it's the red tape that comes with doing business, especially doing business with government. But also, you have Balito is more of an entertainment town. You know, people come from all kinds of places in the world for entertainment, yeah. So if the government side of things, for example, is slack and it's low in approving, permits, for example, it becomes a problem for our people. And without any payment from anyone we've been assisting businesses in the area with those things where we know some people will call and say, hey, this restaurant, for example, has applied for, for a liquor license, and there's a couple of them there. If this was an open call, a discussion, a couple of my people would call and say, we know what this guy has been doing in the communities. But you need to unlock those things. Because for some reason, and again, lack of capacity and skills, what is urgent for a businessman might not be just another piece of paper for an official somewhere. Then you've got to keep creating that sense of urgency and saying, let's get things moving.
So it'll be a business-centric approach going forward. Penny, last question from you.
I do believe Balito is the economic hub. And obviously with electricity, water, all those services, what is your thoughts on the public-private partnerships within the municipality? Are you for or against that?
I'm fully for that for a number of reasons.
Yeah.
I do believe that government must set the platform for business to happen, to flourish. But the whole initiative for getting things done, especially from a business point of view, must be done by the private sector. It comes across as a very capitalist way of doing things. And I, for one, for example, I'm a businessman. I believe that as a businessman, for a business to do what it needs to do in the communities, it must make profits and then give back on the basis of that. So we need to allow business to flourish and give it space to create jobs, because as a government, you can only create so many jobs. But the private sector, if you look at the economy, for example, in developed and developing nations, developed nations like America, you find that over 60-70% of job creation comes through small businesses. But there is no red tape in doing business, but also partnering. Government is just there to set the platform, but the private sector makes sure that it comes with all innovations and creativity to get things going.
And also they're able to deliver a service because they are experts at it. Hopefully, we've got a Caesar Water partnership that's currently up, precariously at the moment, because it's been running so well, but at the moment, it will probably be taken back. So hopefully the new dispensation is going to be looking at those type of things and fixing them. Hey?
These are issues for the future, but for the present, we're looking at the right man for the right job. Could it be Tabani Msimang for Ward 30? Well, you've heard him on 88 FM on the afternoon show. Tabani, thank you again for coming in and availing yourself of the tough questions, and you've acquitted yourself, I believe, really well. So we look forward to watching closely the developments in the future, and we wish you luck and strength in the fight ahead.
will be an interesting race, that's all I can say.
Yes.
It's a tight race for everyone. Yeah. I can tell you that we are here and we're going to win it.
Well, we will watch the space, and if you do, I look forward to conducting your victory interview on the other side of the 1st of November. We're on the afternoon show. Here's Christopher Cross.